Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Sexy,
huh? It is time for Tim Hasselbeck. We are talking some NFL football. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. Some of the training camps are having rookies report as we speak. And then in about another week, we'll be talking about practices, who looks in shape, who's injured, and we will be off and running for the NFL season. It is exciting. And so, Tim, great to talk to you. We have a question for you before we get into the NFL. Lane Kiffin just went out and threw it in everybody's face yesterday at SEC Media Days and saying, okay, look, I coach in the NFL. I'm seeing what's happening in NIL. And this looks to me like we need a salary cap because right now, whoever's got the best boosters, whoever got the most money, they're going to have a payroll. They're having a payroll. It's already happening. And they're going to get the best players. And he's using the transfer portal and recruits as an example. So just kind of throwing it out there. So let me ask you, if you could put the genie back in the bottle and start from scratch, knowing that the NIL is here to stay, and it's gotten crazy in the last year, do you have any sort of idea on what a good structure would be to try to make something fair, something that would work, and not be so zany?
No, I think that because it swung so hard this direction, I think, as you said, that, you know, the genie back in the bottle, like, I think that's going to make it so much more difficult. I think if you could go back and you'd say, listen, players are allowed to sign true marketing deals, you know, something where, you know, they actually do an actual appearance to, you know, at a car dealership or at a sub shop, whatever it is, like a true marketing deal. I think in those environments of companies signing players, you know, in to do a marketing deal, like, I think that was like the intent for it to work that way for players, student athletes. But instead, with the way that it essentially became just a, you know, a fund of money offered to players clearly for just going to the school, like, it just swung so far the other way that, like, to change it now, like, I don't know how you go about changing it. And I think it just was such an awful first step in terms of execution.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's well put. Go ahead, Derek.
No. I was saying, Tim, you're right, because it's almost as if they, and if you let me know if you agree with me on this, Tim. It was almost like they knew this was coming, because there had been years, even with the O'Bannon brothers, they knew eventually that this was going to be coming because they were making so much money. It was almost like when the judges said, okay, that's unfair, these kids need to be paid, it was almost like the NCAA or whoever's involved in this said, okay, here you go, instead of preparing while this thing was going on and try to set up some type of system to whereas it doesn't seem as if we're in a free fall.
Yeah, I think the part that I get, and let me just kind of preface this all by saying, I love the fact that guys can make money now because people are making money off of them. So like just to state the record, like I'm for guys getting paid. Like it, I didn't like it when I would go to the Clemson bookstore and there'd be like a hat with like long blonde hair hanging out of the side of it, like knowing that Trevor Lawrence wasn't getting any of the action on it. Like that, I didn't like the way that felt. So I'm for it. Now, that being said, I think the dangerous aspect of it is this. So many of these guys now are getting paid and they're not being asked to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being given money to go to the school. Essentially, I know it's not, they're not saying it's for that, but that's how it's going. And I think it's just it's a false sense of like reality in terms of how life will work for them beyond, you know, going to playing, you know, football or basketball, whatever school they're going to. And that stage of their life is going to be over, you know, when they're 24 years old. And so like, I think it creates such a bad environment. And I think that we're going to see more people failing from it than succeeding from it.
One thing that came up last hour, which I thought was really noteworthy, is we kind of threw out there Lane Kiffin's idea of a salary cap. Was a caller texted us and said, let's take a look at a high profile. This happens all the time, right? Sometimes even a Heisman Trophy winner. But a high profile quarterback like A.J. McCarron, if he had NIL back in the day, he probably would have made millions, right? Let's just speculate he made $2.5-3 million a year. He becomes a backup in the NFL. And what is the going rate for a backup quarterback? Maybe $1 million or $1.5 million. So theoretically, you could be more. He could make more. Yeah. So the old joke of you took a pay cut to come to the pros, that would actually be true in some cases.
Yeah. And listen, that's okay. Like, look, I was a better college player than pro player. Like I'm okay with the guy that, like, his game translated better at the collegiate level, and for that guy to, to be rewarded for it. Like, I have no issues with that. I think that can be actually a very good thing. I don't know that you can have a salary cap. I just think that I don't know how you ever go back from this. Think how long it took for people to be honest, and how many guys were wronged. You know, D. Mace brings up the O'Bannon case, but that for change to actually happen, think how long it took. Mm-hmm. So this idea now that we're going to go and we're going to start putting limits on how much. Listen, they're over 18 years old. Limits on how much adults can make? Like, that's un-American. You can't do that now. Like, I think it's done. And here's what I think ends up being the problem for it. People have always talked about the haves and the have-nots in college sports.
Oh, yeah.
That's always existed. Like, you know, Alabama doesn't all of a sudden have an advantage over Vanderbilt. They've had it. Like, nothing's changed. I think that I get a little uneasy about it, and I think it's a shame that it's happened. I think when you now have it in addition to the way the transfer portal works, because if you are a freshman receiver that goes and has an amazing year at Vanderbilt, the chances are someone's coming after you with money to bring you somewhere else, even if the kid is super happy.
That's a problem. And not just Vanderbilt, but Wyoming and Middle Tennessee.
Boston College or Wake Forest. Yeah.
Boston College. Yeah, it could be any of the, quote, have-nots.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Tim. Now, switching over to the NFL, Tennessee Titans, they start up camp pretty soon here, just about every other team will start up if they haven't started up already with their rookies, depending on if you're a new head coach or not. You tend to start camp a little bit early, based on NFL rules. Mike very well been at this for 5 years now, going on six, I believe. And he's won Coach of the Year. He's been in the AFC Championship game. He's won a division twice. Is this the year with the turnover, the small turnover that they've had with this team in the last couple of years? Is this the year I believe Mike has to move his team past an AFC Championship game and move his team into the NFL? Because if he don't, I think he will just be another good coach coaching a good team that is not good enough to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that this is make or break. In fact, I would tend to think it's not. Mm-hmm. But D-Mace, I think, you know, you kind of list like things that he's done in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And you think about, you know, the events kind of leading to him, you know, becoming the head coach, you know, of the Titans. And you think like, well, shoot, you know, he's kind of, you know, been what they wanted, right? I mean, I think the team definitely has had an identity under him. The team has had success. They were the one seed last year with all of those injuries. You know, they were bad on defense 2 years ago. They seem to get that fixed. You know, between he and John Robinson, it feels like they've added good players. He's lost coaches. I mean, you think about this, like he lost a coordinator that, you know, then becomes a head coach and a very successful head coach, you know, for the Packers. So I don't think there's that kind of pressure on him to make it to the Super Bowl. But I do think that what he's created is a set of expectations of, well, look, they should be a playoff team and they should win playoff games. And I don't find the ownership for the Titans, and I don't find the fan base to be impatient, you know, people. But I probably would say, like, look, you have, you know, two more years where you're not, you know, winning a bunch of playoff games or, you know, going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I think then those questions that you're asking, I think they become national questions.
Yeah, they do. And then I think the other end of this is because this team, you know, relies so heavy, well, at least the last couple of years, they've relied so heavy on the run game. And we saw them with Derrick Henry and without Derrick Henry. Can this team consistently win in the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl without having that dominant pass catcher? They lost A.J. Brown, obviously. They got Robert Woods, but he's coming off a knee injury. They don't have that marquee guy to catch passes for Ryan Tannehill. So can they win the old school way, playing really good defense and running the football?
Are you saying that the
like
best
a Super Bowl
wide receiver ever to play for the Tennessee
exactly.
Titans?
Exactly. So he's saying.
hey, listen, they don't have that guy. You're right. They don't have that guy right now. And I think the question ends up being, like, does somebody turn into that guy? Mm-hmm. Because I think every team that wins the Super Bowl, like, even if it isn't, you know, the receiver that's viewed as, like, the marquee, you know, wide receiver that's a true number one, that's, like, you know, the diva wide receiver that everyone's acknowledging in a certain way, I think you can go to any of these teams that have had success and go, well, you know what? He wasn't viewed that way, but, like, listen, Julian Edelman was that. Or, you know, just name the receiver. Antonio Freeman was that. Or you get what I'm saying, mm-hmm. right? So, like, I think that somebody still needs to turn into that. And, look, maybe it's Robert Woods, because I think he's a really good player. And maybe he, you know, coming off the injury can bounce back. I think it kind of needs to be him, to be honest with you, when I look at the roster and think about, you know, roster experience and all that stuff. But, yeah, D-Mason, I'd be shocked if you didn't feel the same way. But I think someone needs to be a real number one, even mm-hmm. if people aren't right now viewing him as a number one.
So many questions. How many times are we going to be watching so closely and asking and talking about Robert Woods and Treylon Burks going from now until they actually kick off the regular season? This is such a fun time of the year. Tim, looking forward to another season here with you. Thanks for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, hey, listen, I can't wait to watch somebody replace the best Titans receiver of all time. The bar is high.
The bar is high.
Hey, he said that bar really high, man. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, you can look up stats, fellas. You can look up stats. All right. See you guys.
Thanks a lot,
12,061 yards. Don't shortchange the 61. Hey, we've established 61, that today, man, on the show. Give him the 61. It's like Roger Maris in 1961. All right, we're coming back with more. We're going to talk some more NFL with D-Mace when we come back. I'm going to hit him with some of the questions that everybody has, maybe around the league, but definitely some about the Titans as well. And we'll get back into our SEC coverage from Media Days as well later in the show. You're going to hear from Nick Saban, what he had this morning to say. He's always got some good issues to have people chewing on. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville. Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. So, D Mace, we're getting close. And it'll be that time of the year where we really delve in to every practice, every different scenario that could go wrong. What has to go right? How good are they? But the expectations, you think about what has happened since that playoff game against the Bengals and all of the discussion we've had. And finally, we're about to actually have some real practices and start a new season so they can prove that that wasn't them, that they can earn another shot. It's a great challenge for the Titans. So regardless of what happens, it's going to be dramatic. So what's your... You asked him the question, so let's get your opinion. Do you think that this team can still be in the mix for a championship?
Well, I think as long as Mike and John are, you know, running this team in a sense. I know it's Amy's team, but she has delegated those responsibilities of building a team and running a team to John and Mike, so in that coaching staff. So I believe as long as these individuals are in place, then the Tennessee Titans will always be set up to win. Now, winning the championship, that's a different story. You look around the NFL, look at organizations that are always, no matter what, that are set up to win. Pittsburgh, always, no matter what, set up to win. New England, always, no matter what, set up to win. Now, they may have a year in there that, you know, that is sort of an outlier. But if you look, those teams are always set up to win or in the playoffs. Baltimore okay. Ravens, always set up to win. And why is that? You look at all three of those organizations. Why? Because of the stability with the GM and the head coach. More importantly, Pittsburgh. They've only had, what, three coaches?
Yep.
You know, since their inception in the NFL, three coaches. That
That's
is unheard of.
That's a really
interesting
category.
Exactly.
To be in. A good system, good structure, continuity. The Ravens are a good one. Certainly the Patriots over the years have had that. So you think the Titans are getting to that point. They should be in that class. Take championships away.
Yeah, take championships away.
It's a solid system that's producing a successful product, even though they haven't had the ultimate prize yet.
Exactly. So they have a recipe to always win, to always be competitive. And that's because who you hired as GM and who you hired as head coach. And then subsequently who the head coach hired in his staff. So this team will always be set up to win. But how far can they go? You know, can they win a championship? I don't know if that can happen this year because there are questions that need to be answered.
Big ones.
Big ones. Who takes over?
Mostly on offense,
exactly.
Right?
Who takes over for A.J. Brown? Okay, I know we got Robert Woods is here. know they drafted Treylon Burks. Robert Woods is coming off an ACL. And I know everyone is optimistic because of, you know, they've seen other guys come off ACL and they're back playing. But playing the position at a receiver in the ACL is totally different. Ask Taylor Lewan about playing, you know, left tackle with a ACL injury. It's tough. It's hard. I'm back, yes, but I'm not who I was. Robert Woods, that's the question mark with him. So that's one. The second is the offensive line. You know, who's going to play right tackle? Will that right tackle be able to hold up the whole season? Will Taylor Lewan come back to form? You know, he's 2 years removed basically from an ACL, and he's not getting any younger. Will he get back to form? All right. Will Derrick Henry be back to form? I think he will. I think he'll be the same Derrick Henry. But a lot of people out there, for some strange reason, has this. They've tagged it as, oh, he has too much tread on the tires and there will be a decline. I think if he still rushes for 1,500 yards, that's not a decline. He will lead the league in rushing with 1,500 yards.
1,500 would be unbelievable. Yeah,
exactly.
I would sign up
1,400
for that right now.
Will lead the league. So you have your wide receiver, you have your offensive line, you have your running back. Then what are you going to get out of your tight ends? You don't know. Because Ryan Tannehill loves to throw to his tight ends. We know this. So that's a big question mark. What is that going to look like? Now let's flip it on the other side. Defense. All right, well, we got our defense.
Hang on to that. Uh-huh. Hang on to that. Let's come back with the defense. Because Darren and I had a good discussion yesterday. I want to hit you with what we were talking about. Our theory. Because it's kind of ironic that last year we were talking about how the offense had to sort of cover for the defense. Mm-hmm. This year, it might a little bit be opposite. All those questions you just laid out there for the offense, legit questions that we're going to be watching closely. But is the defense good enough now to be relied upon to maybe cover for them some? Let's come back and talk about that when we come back. Later in the show, we will talk about some of the things that Nick Saban had to say from SEC Media Days as well. We've got a lot going on the show. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase. With Derek Mason in the house today, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Well, our show is not coming at you from New York, but I do like this song for sure. You can watch us, though, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry, as we hear from Frank Sinatra. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. We're talking about the Titans as we start setting the table for training camp coming up. So, D-Mace, this is my statement from yesterday. I'll just throw it out there. You agree or disagree? I think the defense has a chance to be good enough to buy some time for the offense to work through a lot of the issues you laid out in the last segment. You know, what do you have in Derrick Henry? What do you have in Robert Woods? How healthy is he? How long is it going to take for Treylon Burks to get up to speed? What are you going to get from the tight ends? Can you sort out the issues on the offensive line? There's a lot more question marks on offense than there are on defense. And therefore, maybe the defense can cover for the offense some, which is completely the opposite of what we were saying last year going into the season. But How sturdy do you think the Titans' defense is? And is that the reason they might be just as good as last year? Because the defense is that much better.
This is a defense that, only gave up 20 points a game, I believe, somewhere around there. And the offense managed to score, you know, a little bit more than that. So that sort of, you know, parlayed to them having a 12-5 season because there was this, okay, we can stop people and we can score type of mentality. And you have to have that mentality. So looking at the defense, everyone knows that the strength of this defense is the defensive line, point blank. I think if you're building a team, you start with the defensive line. Because the defensive line it's a byproduct of, good secondary is a byproduct of a defensive line. If you don't have a good defensive line, you can have Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson at your corners. You can have Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu at your safeties. If you don't have a defensive line that can get to the passer, I mean, your secondary would be good, but nothing. They would not reach potential because a quarterback has 4 or 5 seconds to sit back there and pick you apart. Eventually, someone's going to get open. So this team, this defense was built from the inside out, meaning they were built from the defensive line on out. They have one of the best defensive linemen in the National Football League in Jeffrey Simmons. They have one of the best role players on the defensive line in Denico Autry in the National Football League. They have arguably the best safety in Byard in the National Football League. So what does that leave you? It leaves your linebackers and it leaves your corners, okay? Your corners is probably the question mark, the true question mark on this defense, because you have, you know, young corners, corners that haven't played in Caleb Farley. You've drafted a corner in Roger McCreary that more than likely will go on the inside. You know, you have other guys that have played, you know, some snaps or played, you know, some years in this league, but they haven't, you know, clocked in the necessary experience that you necessarily need at that position, because now you're going up against high-powered offenses in the AFC, not just in your division, but in the AFC.
Yeah, that was a big thing we brought up yesterday, is you could have a really good defense, but going up against some of the teams that they're playing, a lot of the teams, they display a high volume of explosive offenses. So you could be playing good defense and have a good defense, but still be giving up a decent amount of points. Fair to say?
Yeah, you can. And the Titans, they had a really good defense. They haven't given up a lot of points. Now you got to start – that cornerback situation comes up. You have to start looking at, you know, Christian Fulton, who's entering, what, his second year, second or third year.
Big year for him. Big year for
in,
him.
In the National Football League. You got Caleb Farley, who's – hopefully he's healthy and you can and he shows up on a field. He's a reason. You find out that they drafted him in the first round for a reason, a guy that was injured in college. He's finally healthy, hopefully, entering in the season. Then you finally get to see the potential that everyone's been waiting on. So you have these two question marks with Christian Fulton and Caleb Farley. Not Christian Fulton because he can't play. It's just he hadn't clocked in enough hours at that position. He's a young corner. Caleb Farley, he's a young corner. Roger McCreary, he's a young corner. You're talking about guys that combined maybe have what, five years of actual experience at the cornerback position?
Yeah, if that. Yeah, I think if that. That goes back to something you started with, is it's built from the front four out. So for those guys to succeed, realistically, even if they have enough talent, they need to be protected by that front four. They have to have a really good pass rush. Otherwise, I think as talented as they might be, that's where offensive coordinators are going to go at, right? That's going to be how you try to attack the Titans defense. How do I exploit the young cornerbacks on this team, right? That's what they're going to start. If you're game planning for the Titans, that's what you'd look at. That's the biggest weakness on paper, isn't it?
Yeah, because what teams are going to start doing now is, okay, you got Jeffrey in the middle. Let's try to find a way to run away from Jeffrey somehow, some way. But if we don't run, let's double team Jeffrey, you know, hold up the other guys for a second, and let's just get the ball outside because they lack experience on the outside. If we can just get the ball in our receiver's hands on the outside, we'll be fine. Prime example, you had 9 sacks in a playoff game and you still lost. I know many will look at Ryan Tannehill and what he did. I get that. But what happened? I always go to what happened at crucial times in the game that the Titans needed stops. They gave up big plays in the secondary. More notably, the last 4th and 15. Everybody knows who you're throwing the ball to, and you still get beat playing two man on an out route. You still get beat. Why? Because that's a lack of experience at the cornerback position. Those guys up front are great. At least one of them is great, and the other guys are really good. But if you don't have guys that can hold up on the outside, it doesn't matter. Teams are going to figure it out.
And what was the other thing that happened in that game? They didn't get the turnovers. If you sack the quarterback 9 times, you figure there's going to be a big mistake. Your odds of getting a tip ball or a fumble on the sack or a bad throw that creates an interception should be pretty high. So that's what you would hope. Even if the corners get beat from time to time, you hope you get the pressures, the sacks that turn into big plays for the defense. That would be enormous. And I think they've got the material to do that. But as you said, you got dangerous quarterbacks that can make you pay when you're going up against Mahomes and Herbert and Burrow and some of the guys that are on the schedule.
Beyer can't be the only guy that's getting interceptions or getting turnovers.
That's
a
good point. You hope that one of the corners gets like that, right?
Absolutely. You have to turn into an opportunistic defense. Every coach says, and when you interview a coach and your team has gotten a lot of turnovers, what does he say? With good discipline. You know, guys see the ball and they're opportunistic. When there's an opportunity to intercept the ball or get your hands on the ball, we do it. The teams that don't have the interceptions, they're not opportunistic. They're just not. They have opportunities to make an interception or right there to make a play, and they just don't make it. Well,
all right.
Someone other than Kevin Beyer need to be opportunistic in that defense.
That's a good point. All right, a couple of league issues for you, D-Mace, when we come back. A couple of questions that are popping up around the NFL this week. We'll hit you with those when we come back, and then we'll hear from Derek Mason's former college coach. He now coaches at the University of Alabama. You may have heard of him. His name is Nick Saban. SEC Media Day is going on. We'll hear what he had to say this morning, and we will discuss some during the 1 o'clock hour. Also, the crazy pirate, Mike Leach. His team missed more field goals than anybody in Division I football last year. We'll hear what he had to say about that also during the 1 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Lots of SEC talk coming up next hour. Also, let me give you Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House. Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. It's a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Head to the Game Nashville /deals now and get a $50 gift card for only $25. And you'll be headed to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you. All right, D-Mace, a couple of league issues. Questions for teams as they head into training camp. Here's one about the team that we all sort of lament that you played for a while, the Ravens. They're not a very popular team here in this town, but a great organization. As you mentioned, good stability, always seemed to be in the mix. For example, last year, Lamar Jackson did not have a great year by his standards. Got hurt, missed some games, was mistake prone in some other games. They lost some really tight games that could have swung their season. And yet they still were right there and almost made the playoffs with so much going wrong. Remember they lost their entire backfield in the preseason? Yes. I mean, they had some tough things to overcome. Are they a prime candidate to bounce back this year? I mean, if things go, you know, if they get some reasonable luck with injuries, it should put them way ahead of where they were last year, right? Are they a sleeper team?
No, they're not a sleeper team. They're
not. They compete with the Bengals. Like, how do you?
I think they can compete with the Bengals. Again, just like I said, when I was talking about the Titans, the two things that are in place that I believe that are critical in success: GM, head coach. Titans have it. Baltimore Ravens with DaCosta and Harbaugh. those two guys, and I know DaCosta hasn't been the GM the whole time. Harbaugh has been the head coach because Ozzie was, but DaCosta was there. He was sort of this, he was being sort of groomed under Ozzie to eventually be the GM. Now he's the GM. He knows and understands how this organization operates from drafting to getting free agents to developing players. They have a really good roster. Yes, they lost some players, but they drafted the best safety in college football in Kyle Hamilton. They went and got a really good center in Kyle Linderbaum, I believe, from Iowa. So they're set, and then they got guys in the second round, guys, the outside linebacker from Michigan. So they set up, they're setting this team up for success. And then they have the one thing that I think every team needs. They have a franchise quarterback in Lamar Jackson, a league MVP, a young guy that just keeps getting better. Now he has to avoid getting injured this season, because if he gets injured, that derails any chance I believe they have at making the playoffs. But if he's not injured, if he stays healthy, they got good running backs. They got probably the third or, you know, second or third best tight end in the National Football League in Andrews. They are set up. The best play, the best field goal kicker in the National Football League. Hell, might be the best field goal kicker in history. They are set up to win. So I don't think they'll be a sleeper team. I don't think they take a backseat to Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has exactly what it needs, and they benefited because Baltimore had so many injuries last year. But this will be the true test. If Baltimore stays healthy, if Cincinnati stays healthy, obviously Pittsburgh's always there. This is going to be a three-team battle to win that division.
Here's a stat that blew my mind that I saw. Lamar Jackson missed almost six full games last year with the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But he still set a career high with 470 dropbacks, passing dropbacks. Now, I don't know if that all ended up in pass attempts. I'm guessing he dropped back and ran on a certain amount of that number there. But that's still pretty interesting. And so, part of that has to do, I would think, with the fact that they lost so many running backs early in the season. So I feel like they're going to be better. They're going to be back to what we expect from the Ravens this coming year. All right, now here's another one. The Jaguars. Just kind of a scary thought. What if, with the new coaching staff, with Travis Etienne back in there, what if Trevor Lawrence figures it out and blossoms into a really, really good quarterback in year two? What happens? Like, how many games could they win?
Well, if Trevor Lawrence becomes the quarterback that many projected him to be, then it's going – and I'm not saying they will win the AFC South, because I still believe it's a two-team race between Indy and the Titans. But I think that if Trevor starts to become that guy, and I believe he will under this new coaching staff, They've upgraded the roster at just about every, you know, major position, wide receiver, offensive line, defensive line. They've done some things for that organization to make them a better team on paper. If the quarterback, they got their running back back, ATN, from last year, he was hurt. I believe he got hurt early in the season.
Yeah, he never played.
So he got hurt in preseason. So they get him. And we know what type of running back he was in college and what he projected to be in the pros. So that's a plus. But if they can get this quarterback to playing the way that many believe he can play, I think what happens now is no longer do you see Jacksonville on your schedule and say that's a win. If they're going to make it harder for Tennessee and Indianapolis, during the season. I'm not saying that Jacksonville's going to beat them or, you know, going to, you know, jump spaces with them. No, I'm just saying that no longer is it Jacksonville's on the schedule. Oh, that's a win. No, yep. It's not going to be that.
I do think they're going to play a bigger part in the race. They're going to pick some people off. How about this, too, with the Christian Kirk? His pass catchers Christian Kirk coming in to try to help a brutal receiving corps. Trevor Lawrence, according to ESPN, had 37 drop passes by his pass catchers, the second most of any quarterback in the NFL. So if that improves too, I just think Jacksonville could be a much, much better team. I don't know about a playoff team, but like Derek said, you can't just circle it as an automatic win. On that, we'll turn the page. We'll get back to some SEC coverage. Nick Saban will be a big topic. We'll hear from the crazy pirate as well. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game Nashville app.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.